Blog Talk Radio.
To Mr. Nene Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's interview is with Mr. Stanley Austin. Mr. Austin is a singer. He writes also. He'll be on in a minute or two. Mr. Austin has worked with Cancer Research, among other organizations. So what I'm going to do is play another song and give him a few minutes to call in. Having a little technical problems here as I wait for him to call in. Hope everyone has enjoyed their new year. I'm grateful to be here in 2019. All right, everyone, there he is. There won't be another song. Mr. Stanley Austin is on the line. Good morning, Mr.
Hello.
Austin. How are you doing this morning? Good morning.
Good morning, Angel. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
How are you?
I'm coming along just fine. You know, I had shoulder surgery, and that's kind of set me back a little bit. But I'm still in the recovery stage, and I'm very hopeful. I was still able to do a couple of shows last year, in October, New Year. So I'm still very encouraged, and I know I'll get better.
Yes, sir. I understand that. I'll get better, too, with just your shoulder. I know when I called you, you were in therapy.
Yeah, I've been in therapy 2 days a week, and I try to get a massage at least once a week. So I'm working on it, and I work on it myself every day.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. And you're still performing, of course.
Yes, I'm still performing.
Okay. You have quite a fan base.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
I said you have quite a fan base.
Yes. A lot. You know, being a member of the Main Ingredient helps tremendously. Whether I'm performing on my own or, you know, as a Main Ingredient, it really helps a lot because they have millions of fans.
They do, and so do you. You have millions of fans also.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy. I really am. I'm happy to be associated, you know, with the Main Ingredient and doing my own music and books and things like that as well. I really am.
Yes, you have Faith, Love, and a Last Collection of Poems, Songs.
Yes.
Poems and
yes.
Songs. It's paperback, and it's on Amazon.com.
Yes, it is.
Okay, yes. You also have The Asylum.
Yes.
By Stanley E. Austin, The Asylum. These are not from Main Ingredient. This is from your own. These are your own.
That is correct.
What are those books about?
Well, we'll start with Faith, Love, and Life. Faith, Love, and Life is the first book that I ever released. And it's a book of poetry and songs. I have over 100 poems and songs in that book. All of them aren't songs, but I say about 50 of them are songs. I've yet to even tap into half of them. I may have only recorded maybe 15 of the songs that's on that book. So that book's going to be around for quite a while with me releasing periodic songs from it. And I'm very happy about it. It's on paperback and it's on audio so people can listen to me do the narration of the actual poetry. So that's what that book is about. I'm very happy about it. And The Asylum is an audio. It's an audio book. And it's an audio book about a short story. And the short story talks about this fictitious character called the Patriot. And in this story, the Patriot has five different personalities. And due to government experiments on the Patriot when he was in the military, under duress, some of these other characters will come out. And those characters are Have Not, their twin brothers, Guido, who comes from places and parts unknown, and Dr. Von Rectum. Dr. Von Rectum likes to sell pharmaceutical drugs to everybody. He's the one that's got everybody hooked on all these opioids and different things like that. But he is a fictitious character. So that's what it's about. It talks about their lives, each one of those characters, when they come out. And it talks about conspiracy and what happened to the Patriot. And it's funny. It's funny because Guido keeps you laughing, and so does Brother Have Not. You know, when you say twin brothers, you try to figure out how to get twin brothers in a set of five out of one character. So I made it interesting. So I'm sure anybody that gets it will get a good laugh out of it. It might give them some food for thought to what if, but it's all in fun.
All right. Okay. Now, you sing with the group Main Ingredient. You also have music that you sing, you know, that's on your own, that's solo. For those of you, I don't know how many of you know Main Ingredient, but I'm very familiar with them because I've interviewed Mr. Stanley Austin before. They're well-known for Everybody Plays the Phone. And they've had several songs written or co-written by Mr. Stevie Wonder. They had a song, Just Don't Want to Be Lonely. Everybody Plays the Fool Sometimes. I remember that. Everybody Plays the Fool Sometimes. I like that one. You've Been My Inspiration, I'm So Proud, Both the Top 20 Spinning Around, I Must Be Falling in Love. This was, the group originally started in Harlem, New York City in 1964. They were a trio called the Poets. They were composed of Lee Spanner Donald, Mr. Donald McPherson, Mr. Luther Simmons Jr., and Tanamo Bourne, Mr. Tony Sylvester. They made their first recordings with Lever and Strollers Redbird. Then they changed it to Insiders. And then they changed the name to Main Ingredient. So they're still singing, and this is one of the singers for the group Main Ingredient, everyone. This is Mr. Stanley Austin. Okay, Mr. Austin, you've recently worked with the cancer research. Could you tell the people listening about that?
I dedicated one of my songs that I had just released at that time. I think I'll tell her, which was originally done by a guy by the name of Ronnie Dyson. So I had an opportunity of, you know, partnering with them so that I would give a certain amount of the residuals of the sales to the Cancer Society in support of cancer.
Yes, sir. That is
so
great.
It's a good thing. I had a nice article that was written by one of the news journal out of Daytona. So I was very happy about that.
I believe that. You have every right to be.
And that is still ongoing.
Okay. All right. Right now I'm going to play your song, one of your songs. Is that okay with you? LT80171.
I'm sorry, repeat that again, please. Okay? I didn't get that.
I'm going to play one of your songs, LT80171.
Okay. I know what that is.
Okay. All right. That's what it says. It's on YouTube.
That's Everybody Plays. That's me singing Everybody Plays Full Live.
Yes, okay. All right, everyone, getting ready to listen to Mr. Stanley Austin. You're in for a great treat. He has a beautiful voice. Beautiful, beautiful voice. I'm sorry about that, Mr. Alston.
Not a problem. I'm sure you'll get it.
Yes,
and if you don't, you can always go to.
Apologize once again, everyone. Mr. Alston, don't let this stop you from coming back on.
Well, maybe you're going to have to go to something else, Angela, if you have anything else. I know I sent you a couple of things.
Can you hear that, Mr. Alston?
No, I cannot. But as long as your audience can hear it, I don't know if they can hear it or not.
Can you hear it, sir?
No, I cannot.
Can you hear the song?
No, I don't hear it.
Okay.
No, I don't hear it.
You can't hear it at all?
Yeah, I hear it faintly.
I don't want the audio to be bad. It's not coming in. I get to this. No, it's not coming in. real well.
Well, you know, that's a lot of space for any kind of physical.
Sir?
That's a lot of space.
Okay. All right, everyone, I'm not going to play that song. The audio is not coming in good on my end, but but what you can do is go to YouTube and you can find the song "Everybody Plays the Fool" by Mr. Austin. I don't want to mess the song up. He has a beautiful voice, and his sound quality is just not coming through on my end. It's not his end. So, all right, Mr. Austin, so you have books that will be ongoing, coming out and things like that from, I believe it's the Faith, Love, and Life collections poems?
Yes. Yes, we're still working. Like I said, we're still working towards other releases on that. And I am continuing to write material as we move forward. I have other material that I have written, and those things will be released. We're supposed to release a CD titled Ocean Girl this year. So we have, I think I Tell Her on that, and one of the other songs that we're very excited about. So there's a few things that's going to go on that. We might even put some Main Ingredient songs on there. Who knows? Because I have released some of those, some of the older Main Ingredient songs as well.
Okay. All right. So how many of the original members of Main Ingredient are still singing, sir?
There is a poster that I created with everybody who's ever been a Main Ingredient. And one of the original members, Luther Simmons, is still alive. But he elected to, you know, resign or quit or stop performing with the Main Ingredient years and years and years ago. And a guy by the name of Jerome Jackson took his place, and Jerome Jackson still sings with the Main Ingredient today. He sings with me right now, Jerome Jackson.
Oh, that is wonderful. So he's probably been singing with them 20 or 30 years.
Absolutely. You've got the number. He's the oldest
singer.
Main Ingredient. I tell him that all the time, and he says, it's not a big deal, you know. He wants me to just go step into everything and move forward with the way we do things with the Main Ingredient. So I have a couple of plans for things this year, and we have to see if they work out, and I'm very hopeful that they will.
Okay. All right. You also, everyone wants to know he's on CD Baby. Also, not just use the CD Baby. We Need This Chance. It's some about the survivor of cancer victims. You can purchase his CD there. I also believe, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Stanley Alston, but Cuban Gooding Sr., the Main Ingredients, am I correct?
No, Cuba Sr. is the one who was the lead singer. He's
yes,
the one
sir.
That sang the full Cuba Gooding Sr., not Junior.
Yes, that's what I said, Sr.
Yeah, Sr., he's the one, absolutely. Cuba used to joke all the time and tell Junior he didn't think he could sing, but I listened to a recording that Junior did. I didn't think Junior did really bad on it, but you know how that is. Cuba's a very, very proud man, and all he did was say things to inspire people to do better, and I think he was trying to push Junior to do even better.
Oh, okay. Yes, Mr. Cuban Gooding Sr., that's the Oscar winner, Mr. Cuba Gooding Sr.'s father.
Yes, Cuba Gooding Sr. is Junior's father, yes.
Yes, okay. All right. That is great. In the presence of famous, very famous man, you are, sir. Okay.
Well,
when are you?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, when are you going? Where are you all performing next? And where are you performing solo next? Where people can go buy tickets to see you perform?
We are working on the Hard Rock Cafe in Daytona. We're hoping to be there sometime in the April time frame. I don't know exactly the date right now. Right now, they're going through a lot of things that they're working on for the Daytona 500, which we both know is February 17th. So that takes a lot of preparations.
Yes, sir.
And once they get through some of those things, we should know what time frame in April, because Cuba Gooding Sr. passed away April the 20th of 2017, and his birthday is April the 27th of 20, coming up this year. So we'll see what happens, whether it's me or the main ingredient there, but we're working on the Hard Rock Cafe in Daytona.
Okay. Hard Rock Cafe in Daytona. Okay, sir. So have you been in any films, commercials, or anything like that? Are you just writing books and performing, just singing?
Well, I tell you this, I'm a little overdue at doing a commercial for a guy by the name of Marshall Thompson. Marshall Thompson is the last living member of the original Shylights. So I've been asked to do a commercial for a radio station for him, and they've been very patient with me because they know it's a lot of things going on, but I'm going to push myself to get that done today. So, yes, I have been doing commercials and things like that. I just did another radio interview earlier this week. And, I'm sorry, someone did ask me to perform March the 15th in Orlando. I overlooked that. So I will be performing in Orlando.
Sir.
I don't know where. March 15th.
Oh, okay. All right. That sounds great. Sounds great. You're also on Reverb Nation.
Yeah, I'm on Reverb Nation as well.
Yes, sir, you are. On your bookstore, Reverb Nation, and among other great music. I'm just disappointed that the sound quality isn't good.
Yeah, I'm a little sorry too.
Yes, sir.
For the suspect as to why it's not coming through. That's one of my songs. That's coming through.
I can hear it real good right now. I can hear it real well. It's just I'm going to concern about the sound quality. As you can well understand, I don't want to mess your music up.
Okay.
Sir. Yeah. Yes, you have, I think I'll tear her, Silent Night, Make Up Your Mind, My Life Belongs to Jesus, Star Spangled Banner, among many, many others. It's called The Alston Experience. It's at ReverberNation.com. You also have, he's also on CD Baby, We Need This Chance, everyone, I'm telling you. He has his books on Amazon. He has a paperback, Faith, Love, and Life, a collection of poems and songs by Stanley E. Alston, A-L-S-T-O-N, on Amazon. He also has A Fresh Start to the New Year, is what the page will say, and he has The Asylum. It's an audio book with 35 minutes and 10 seconds of ending, never-ending excitement, laughs, and drama. That sounds interesting. That sounds like it would be funny.
It will be funny. And if I can finish everything I want to do with it, Angela, I'd like to take it to the stage, because it was actually written for the stage for network TV, because each character has their own intertwining with the major character that can be branched out as separate entities of the one.
Okay, stage. All right. So that's in the future then, taking the the book, The Asylum, to the stage?
Yes.
Taking the Upass, the CD, to the stage? All right. That's the audio CD. Are you portraying different characters or something?
Yeah, those pictures that you see on the face of the jacket is me dressed up in different characterizations. But if I did it live, I don't think that I would portray the five characters. I think that I would have other people intertwining and being those five characters. That's what I envision right now.
Okay. That makes good sense. For you to have other people portraying it. That's a lot of work to portray all those other characters.
It's a lot of work. Just doing the voices, you listen to the CD and you hear all the different voices that are coming out of the different characters, is a lot of work by itself. I mean, it's not like singing five-part harmony by yourself, and I can do that. But five different characters and saying a character is very difficult. So my hat is off to all of the people who have acted and done voiceovers that have been successful at it. It's a very difficult task. So I don't know if I'm ready to take that on stage and sit there and be all five of those characters or not. Plus, I'd like to have them dressed up, and I know that'd be a real different strain on the wardrobe.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it would be. It would be something very, very different. It would be something I would like to see. So I have been enjoying your book, Faith, Love, and Life, a Collection of Poems and Songs. It's nice. How far away is heaven? Do you know about Jesus? What are your thoughts? He will tell you the willow chased me and that you're beautiful, you're special. Why worry? Feel the need to be. And you can travel with love. Stay with me, I care. Will you stick by my side after love? Something is watching mom and dad. The challenge of life is to dream your dream. Rise, get old child. It's not over until it's over. Teachers fight. Everyone's asleep. Yes, I believe. Beautiful. Faith, Love, and Life is the name of that book. It's a collection of poems and songs. That's in CD also. You were born in Virginia Beach, Virginia, but you're raised in Baltimore, Maryland. How did you know that you wanted to become that you wanted to sing and write? What let you know that was what you wanted to do?
That's a great question. I started singing at a very young age in Baltimore. We moved to Baltimore when I was 3 years old. And, of course, the place that you're going to spend most time is in church back in those days and in those times. So at 3 years old, I was singing in church. And then by the time I was 8 years old, I had journeyed outside of the church doing community events. And by the time I was 13, I was on stage getting paid for it as a musical entertainer. And that really, between the age of 12 and 13, but I say 13, and they were actually sneaking us in the clubs to perform. We were too young to be in them.
Yes, sir. So you've also performed at Radio City Music Hall, the Apollo Theater, St. Patrick's Cathedral, and in Harlem, New York, as a member of the Abstinent Baptist Church. Also, as a recording artist, you had numerous releases today, and you continue to have a extensive repertory. You co-wrote Be For Real, the theme song for WJZ-TV and AT&T's Reach Out America. You had a poetry and song book, which we just talked about. It's available in both of is available in paperback and CD, Faith, Love, and Life, a Collection of Poems. It said, did you ever finish your book that says The Wonderful Game of Baseball?
I did not finish the book. I look at that and I kick myself every time because I have at least two other books sitting on the shelf. Bird in a Hurricane is my first novel that hasn't been finished. I could probably finish This Wonderful Game of Baseball a lot quicker because that is going to be statistical, and it will also talk about the years that I spent coaching young people at baseball. Most people don't know that I worked to get 20 or more students scholarships to college in baseball, where I put my music aside to help struggling young people in their art form. All of them didn't make it into the major league or anything like that. Some of them in the minor league. I know one that we're associated with, a guy by the name of Jeff Baker, if you want to look him up, he did make it to the Cubs organization. I think he's still with the Marlins, but he's probably at the end of his career. He's about 38 years old this year, so he's probably at the end of his career. So I've been around a lot of young people with a lot of talent that have played baseball and basketball, people gone to places like Kentucky and things like that. But I think those are the sacrifices that we make for the greater good of other people.
I believe you're a certified basketball instructor, if I'm not mistaken, sir. Certified basketball?
Certified baseball instructor.
Baseball, yes, sir. Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah, certified baseball instructor. So I really love The Wonderful Game of Baseball, and I think it's great for America. It's one of the best sports that I think that can teach people, young people, how to work as a team. Those sports, baseball and basketball, I love them.
All right. Okay. That's nothing wrong with loving sports. I saw a documentary about baseball, and it was showing that a lot of younger people, that black African men in America, a lot, that was the sport in like the 70s and 80s, I believe. That,
yes.
That was the main sport. It wasn't basketball or football. That's what I saw in the documentary, and that now it's not. I also read that baseball players in this day and age are paid more than any other any other sport. People who play baseball in the big league than the NBA or the NFL.
No, that is correct. At that time frame that you mentioned is a time frame when young African Americans were working as hard as we have a lot of history in baseball, dating back to 1885, when blacks were playing baseball. Prior to the integration of baseball of Jackie Robinson. And that's why I wanted to write that book, because a lot of people are very confused because they don't know the history of it, that blacks were allowed to play baseball prior to Jackie Robinson. But that was in 1885. And then what happened was that some of the owners got together and they didn't want to compete against some of the black athletes because they had to be the very best to be on those teams, and they were. So that's part of The Wonderful Game of Baseball that I wanted to mention it, and I have other books of reference for that to verify and to confirm that. And so there was a period where blacks were not allowed to play integrated baseball, and that's when they started their own Negro leagues and things like that, and that's where Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson and Jackie Robinson and some of the other great black baseball players came into term. So,
yes,
you know, if you really listen, you know that I've researched my history. Those are things that I want to put into the book for you to understand what's going on, what has happened. Because even right now, most of the people who are recruited for baseball comes from Central America. And the major league has baseball camps there to recruit. And it's cheaper to recruit those individuals than it is to recruit individuals from college. So I don't want to get too deep into it. I don't want to go any further than that. But that's why you see so many people of diversity in baseball. And I also believe that this young guy that just Heisman, this young guy that just won the Heisman is also a baseball player, the quarterback. He just won the Heisman. He's a baseball player. I think he's going to play baseball. If I were him, I would play baseball because you've already said he can make more money. They play more games. But if he's an outfielder, the wear and tear on his body would be a lot less than it would in football. And he can make more money doing it and last longer to him and his family.
Yes, sir, it is. Because George Herman Babe Ruth Jr. was also a professional baseball player. He was in the major league, and he spent 22 seasons from 1914 to 1935. Yeah. My grandmother was named after him.
Oh, wow. See, so you know some history on it, too.
Yes, sir. I know a little history on it. I do. I'm going to start. I have one more question, and I'm going to ask you, since I couldn't get the audio right, do you mind singing just a little, or am I putting you on the spot? Ask the question, or is that, am I putting you on the spot?
No, I'll do my very best.
Thank you. I just have one question, and it's been a great show. I've enjoyed interviewing you. Great interview. But I have to ask this. What are your feelings as a black man in America who travels extensively? I know with the Main Ingredient. The Main Ingredient is a very famous group. They have millions and millions and millions of fans. But as a black man here in America, do you feel safe if a policeman pulls you over? Feel safe when a police officer pulls you over? How do you feel as a black man in America?
As a black man, do I feel safe? As a black man, I feel safe. And I tell you the reason that I feel safe is because, Paul, that as a young black man in America who has been pulled over, there's certain protocol that I follow. The first thing I have to remember is that I'm dealing with a person who is probably afraid of me. They're probably afraid of me. So I'm dealing with a person that has a fear factor. I'm also dealing with a person that may or may not have been properly trained. No one will say this because we're always after the fact. There is no one guideline for how people and officers should be trained. So I want to say that because I've looked at it in disdain. So I would say to anybody, young black person, follow the protocol. You know what you're dealing with.
Yes, sir.
Make sure they can see your hands and that they're not intimidated. Even if they are wrong, you stay to your mindset. Understand that you have something else in this world and on this planet that you have to do. And you're not going to allow someone's fear to stop you, to interfere with you, or possibly injure you because of their fear and their misunderstanding of you. So you have to be greater than. And that's the only control you have. And anyone that wants to argue that has to put themselves in that place. And then they'll know how to deal with it.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you very much. Your answer was different than anyone else's that's been on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Thank you for that one. I just want to ask you to sing a little bit, and then I'm going to end the show.
Okay, but can I say one more thing before I start singing?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to tell you that a group that I wrote and co-wrote with was a young teenager, and in my early 20s, a group called Opus Nuevo or Trade One Act One is under review for a music contract of music that we wrote over 40 years ago. And that's out of Baltimore. So I am totally elated and excited about that possibility. One member is no longer with us, but everybody else is still alive. We're very excited about it, and I'd like to come back once we sign that deal and talk to you about that.
Yes, sir, that will be great. That will be great. You're more than welcome to come back. You have my number.
That's right. So thank you so very much. And with that being said, I'd like to give you a song that is very special to me that was written by Billy Preston. It was made famous by Joe Crocker, but I've received ovations, standing ovation after standing ovation from the song, and I know that you will like it as well.
Yes, sir.
You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? You're everything that I hope for and much more. You're everything I need. You are to me.
Beautiful, Mr. Austin. Beautiful song. Beautiful vocal.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler, sir.
Thank you, Dennis.
Have a great day.